88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 MW Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
That peace right now. The Bible says peace that surpasseth all understanding. Anybody believe he's doing it right now? Hallelujah. Let us stand all over this place. Thank God for peace. Some folk are standing and you're looking real cute this morning, but if the truth would be told, You're yet dealing with some pandemic problems, but God has promised peace. Come on, thank God for peace. It's flowing right now in this place. His peace is moving in this place by His Spirit. Thank you, God, for your peace. Thank you, God, for your peace. I was watching a show the other day, and they were talking about how a lot of folk are experiencing anxieties and pains that they aren't even aware are a result of the stuff we went through with the pandemic. But God is delivering right now. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. Father, we pray that as we stand to speak your word, we pray, God, that you will speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. Help us, God, as we celebrate 123 years, help us to always remember that we've come this far by faith, leaning and depending on you. We thank you now for the blessings we shall receive in your word. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There is a word from the Lord. We want to look at verses 5 through 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 5 through 8. Amen. And there you will find these words. Corinthians. Amen. Chapter 15, verses 5 through 8. And there you will find these words. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Verse 7, after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. This is the Apostle Paul talking. He says, again in verse 8, and last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. I want to talk for just a few moments as you take your seats in the presence of the Lord on this our 123rd church anniversary. Our theme is going all the way with Jesus. Amen. And guess what? That's the only way we can go forward successfully is with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to use as a subject, as a tag for this text this morning, Jesus is still hanging around. Jesus is still hanging around. Thank you, ushers. Ascension Day is one of the few remaining events in the Christian church that hasn't been touched by secular society. Think about Christmas, think about Easter. These are two main celebrations on the Christian calendar, and yet they also have secular ideas and traditions that have little to do with the actual Christian meaning itself. Ascension Day, however, is always a little different. Not one of you here today can say that you received a happy Ascension Day card in the mail. No one went out for Ascension Day dinner. None of the stores had a big Ascension Day sale, and there's no character like Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny associated with this day. In fact, I'm willing to guess that many of you here this morning don't even know when Ascension Day is. Ascension Day is 40 days after the celebration of Easter, so it's always on a Thursday every year. The 40 days represent the 40 days Jesus hung around after his resurrection. Ascension Day. Y'all do know about Ascension Day. That's that day, amen, after he died, after he was buried, after he rose from the dead early one Sunday morning. The Bible says that he hung around for some 40 days and then he got on a cloud. The Bible says he boarded a cloud and ascended up into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the throne of his Father. That's talking about Ascension Day. And we don't celebrate Ascension Day. We don't get greeting cards about Ascension Day. One of the things that makes this day so unique is that it's the last time recorded in Scripture that Jesus is seen on earth. Now, Paul, as read in our text, does encounter him, but that was later on in the book of Acts when Paul was on the road to Damascus to persecute Christians. This is why those who are a bit more read in the Scripture have a problem with some of the stuff folk like to talk about as it relates to titles. But we're not here to talk about that. The first point I want you to see this morning, it says that, and he was seen of Cephas. And he was seen of Cephas. Y'all know who Cephas is, don't you? Cephas is Simon. Cephas is Peter. Tell your neighbor, Jesus hangs around for saints who stumble. I want to tell you why. Amen. Thank God he's still hanging around. And that's good news. Amen. Especially if you can be labeled among saints who stumble. Now, I know some of y'all are too holy to be in that crowd, but there are a few of us up in here, amen, with our sanctified selves who have to admit that even though we're saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, every now and then, like Peter, we stumble sometimes. He's still hanging around, church, for saints who stumble. Christ appeared to a disciple sometimes called Cephas, and that word Cephas means rock. Sometimes he's called Simon, but he's better known as Peter. Y'all know Peter. Peter was the one who, amen, would have a good shout and then cuss. Some of y'all looking like Peter. Amen. Peter, you know Peter. He was the one who spoke before he thought, like some of us still do today. Before the other disciples recognized who Jesus was, Peter was the one who said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter, his name means the rock. He pledged his eternal devotion to Christ, but in the hour of Jesus' trial, he discovered that his rock had some cracks in it. And so Jesus hung around long enough after he died, after he was resurrected. He hung around long enough to restore a fallen friend, to lift the spirit of a saint, and to let one of his trusted followers know that his denial had been forgiven. Is there anybody who's glad, amen, that your sins have been forgiven? Are you glad, amen, that Jesus is still hanging around because we still have some sin issues that need to be dealt with? I'm glad that Jesus hangs around for saints who stumbled. Notice I said, I'm glad. Because some of you act like you don't stumble. But can I remind y'all what the Bible says in 1 John 1:8? It says that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Can I give you the Joseph Garner translation of that? Use just a lie. So the reality is that all of us ought to be glad that Jesus hangs around for saints who stumble. When others would criticize us, when our weakness and failures make us question our faith, when our adversaries seem to have gotten the victory, when our conscience has beaten us and shamed us, Jesus is hanging around to let us know that he loves us just the same. Amen. I'm glad. Thank God for the founders of this church. But I'm glad that 123 years later, Jesus is still hanging around for saints who stumble. Regardless of your broken promises, he loves you just the same. Regardless of your shattered determination, he still claims you as his own. He does forget. He does forgive. He does allow us to start all over again and walk in the newness of life. I wish I could get two or three people up in here who can praise God for another chance. Right through here is a good time to give him praise. He's still hanging around for saints who stumble. But I see something else. It says that he was seen of Cephas, but then it goes on to say, then of the 12. And that tells me that not only does Jesus hang around for saints who stumble, but he also hangs around for those from whom much is required. He hung around long enough to appear to his 12. Y'all, you need to understand that there were other followers. Yes, there were. But he took out time for this immediate group, those whom he had called by name to drop their nets, to leave tax collecting tables and give it up all to follow him. There was a special place because no other group of people before or after them, amen, would have the privilege of knowing Jesus like they knew him. I'm talking about that group of fellas who had that privilege of sitting around and saying, Jesus, I see these great temples and I see these great buildings, but when will the end come? And over in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus looked at him and said, don't get too excited because the end is not yet. Jesus looked at him and told him that there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be diseases. Amen. Is there anybody here who understands that COVID was not a surprise to God? He told those disciples that, amen, there are going to be sicknesses and diseases in various places, but the end is not yet. Just hang on in there because it's going to get so bad that the love of many shall wax cold. Amen. It's going to get so bad, God said, that if I don't step in and intervene, there will no flesh be saved alive. I'm so glad that Jesus is still hanging around. They were the leaders of the movement. Coming generations would depend upon their accuracy, their recollection, and their writings. The movement would expand or dissipate, live or die, based upon their efforts. And so because much had been given to them, much would be required. I'm talking to our leaders in our church. Amen. Amen. To whom much is given, much is required, because they were at the forefront. It meant that when the church was persecuted, guess what? They would be on the front line of attack. Whenever the church, amen, is persecuted, whenever folk want to attack Pleasant Hill, they ain't looking for the bench member. When folk want to lie, amen, and discredit Pleasant Hill, amen, they ain't looking for those of you who don't tithe, who don't give nothing, who don't hardly come, amen. If you are a church leader, you need to know you're on the front line of attack, because they were at the forefront. They would be used as examples of what could happen if you profess Christ openly. The 12 teach something that people in our spiritual and fraternal institutions try to bypass, and that is that with leadership comes accountability. Do I have a witness today? People want to be in charge as long as you bear the blame. Amen. They don't want to be the boss as long as they ain't, they want to be the boss as long as they ain't got to do nothing. But to whom much is given, tell your neighbor, much is required. So Jesus, he hung around for the 12, for they would be required to endure much. Let us never forget that Jesus is always around for those who bear more than what seems to be their fair share of burdens. Is there anybody that's been through some stuff and you glad, amen, that Jesus is still hanging around? Is there anybody that just because of your praise, the enemy stays on your trail? Just because of your worship, the enemy keeps sending hellhounds your way? Is there anybody that has enough sense to know that the trouble you're going through is because of your praise, because of your worship, because of the word? in your mouth, the devil stays attacking you. He keeps bothering you. He keeps messing with your children. But I wish I could get you to flat-footed stand up and say that no matter what the devil throws my way, for Christ I'll live, for Christ I'll die. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Give him praise in this place. There are those whose lives have more than their fair share of setbacks. Deacon Smith, you need to know you're not under attack for no reason. You need to know, amen, that the devil wants to steal your joy, but I'm so happy every time you cry out in the midst of your sickness, it reminds the devil that ain't no devil in hell that can steal my joy. Ain't no devil in hell that can steal my, the more they lie on you, the more they talk about you, the more you ought to open your mouth and say, Lord, I thank you. There are those whose lives have more than their share of setbacks, whose bodies endure more than their share of frustrating sickness. The mantle of leadership and responsibility seems to rest heavily upon their shoulders. As children, they must grow up faster and assume adult responsibilities. In adulthood, they are mother and father to children, husband and wife to keep a home together, son and daughter for aged parents or those like them. And if someone today is wondering, how long can you stand the strain of leadership and responsibility for self, for family, for bills, for livelihood, the message of the text is Jesus is hanging around. He's hanging around. I said he's still hanging around. You want to know why he's hanging around? He's hanging around to comfort you. He's hanging around to empower you. He's hanging around to preserve you. And I, as pastor, want to just encourage you to hang on in there. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel, because the Lord is with you. Anybody know he's with you? I said, do you know he's with you? Can I tell you, I know he's with me. I know he's with me because his word says, when thou passest through the water, I'll be there. When you go through the river, they won't overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle up on thee, for I am the Lord thy God. Fear not, for I am with you. If you know he's with you, give him praise. But then the third thing I want to leave with you on this, our 123rd church anniversary. He was seen of Cephas. He was hanging around the 12. But then it says after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, then of all the apostles. And that tells me that Jesus hung around until he was seen by the whole church. Y'all, he didn't simply appear to the leadership. Thank God for leadership. But amen, leadership don't mean nothing if you ain't got nothing to lead. Leadership means nothing if there's no fellowship. Are there any folk in here who are willing to say, I don't want to be out front. I don't want to be up top. I don't need no titles. I just want to follow and do the work that God has called me to do. Where am I following? Where's the fellowship? You ought to give him praise. He didn't simply appear to the leadership nucleus. His appearance wasn't just for those who held special positions or offices, or those who had been endowed with special gifts. The Bible says here that the whole church saw him. Jesus understood that it takes more than leadership to do the work. It takes the entire body. There's a concept that came out years ago, and it's worded like this: the vital few and the trivial many. The concept of the adage is basically that 20% of the people produce 80% of the results. Let me say it again. 20% of the people produce 80% of the results. But Jesus didn't just hang around the 20%. He didn't hang just around the 80%. The Bible says here that he appeared to the whole because we're supposed to be working together. Oh, thank you, God. Not only that, but in his appearance to the 500, he demonstrated that he wasn't simply Peter's Lord. He demonstrated that he wasn't simply Lord of the disciples, but he was Lord of the whole church. My brothers and sisters, you don't have a lock on God. You can't dictate who he belongs to and who he doesn't belong to. He's the Lord of all. Nudge your neighbor and tell him he's the Lord of all. He's not Lord of those who belong to a certain clique. He's Lord of all. It doesn't matter that your name is always called. He's Lord of all. Doesn't matter if you give more than everybody else. He's the Lord of all because he belongs to us. We are part of that priesthood of believers. What Peter says in 1 Peter 2 and 9, he says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of God. And the only question I have is that if God has been good to you, why aren't you showing forth his praise? What's wrong with you if you know God woke you up this morning? If you know he put food on your table? If you know that he's the one that put clothes on your back? What's wrong with you if you don't give him praise? So therefore, the same gifts that are bestowed on some, the same spiritual experiences that happen to some, the same spiritual depths achieved by some. I've come by to tell you that it's available to each one of you. You don't have to be jealous of anybody else's praise. I come by to tell you that if you dig deep enough, you will discover that there's a praise down inside of you. And sometimes, my brothers and sisters, what you have to do is just remember what God has done for you. Sometimes, in order for you to find your praise, I dare you to just remember where the Lord has brought you from. And I can't testify for anybody else, but I can testify that the Lord has brought me a mighty long way. And all I'm trying to tell you this morning is that God is not a respecter of persons. He's available to the poorest as he is to the prosperous. He's available to the newcomer just as he is to the oldest member of the church. I told you once before, if you're sick and you can't get a hold of Pastor Garner, there's enough power inside of you to call on God for yourself, because the same prayer line, the same faith line that's in me that reaches to the throne of grace, it's available to you. Is there anybody here that believes that Jesus is on the main line? All you gotta do is call him up and tell him what you want. He's still hanging around. He's still healing bodies. He's still opening doors. He's still making a way. Ain't he all right? I said, ain't he all right? You ought to give him praise. Tell him thank you. Tell God thank you. Tell him thank you. Tell God thank you. He's all right. He's all right. He's all right with me. Everybody standing all over this place.
We at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hope that Reverend Garner's message blessed and revived your spirit. Thank you for listening, and be sure and join us in Leesville for our regularly scheduled Sunday and midweek services. If you'd like a copy of this message, phone us at 337-238-1779. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, the place where God blesses his people.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.
Does anybody...